Everybody, welcome to Red, White, and Brews. I'm Greg Grugan, your host. The best job ever, Mark. I can't believe it. It's like a fantasy. I get to call people in to sit down and talk for 20 minutes, and I drink beer, and later I get paid for it.
Not a bad deal.
All right, I'm with legendary, and there's a lot of hyperbole in life, but that word, that description really applies to my good friend Mark Berman, who was our sports director here at Fox 26, an icon and an inspiration to me. Look, Mark, thanks for coming in. You didn't have to do it, but I, you know.
You still owe me lunch.
I do owe you lunch. Hey, look, man, how long were you here at Fox?
I was here for 37 years, 35 as sports director.
Yeah, that is
that right? Yeah, that's right.
That's a stretch. That's a stretch.
A long time.
It's a lifetime.
It was a lifetime. Yes, it was.
Let me preface this, everybody. I talk to young journalists all the time, and they ask me, how do you do the job? And I said, well, look, I'm going to point to a guy named Mark Berman. Mark covers sports, but it doesn't matter what he covers. Mark Berman, if he had been the cop beat, if it had been the political beat, he would have gone at it the same way. Absolute intensity, absolute desire to win, but within the bounds, never, ever, ever burn a contact. And if you can match what Mark Berman did in the field every day for 30-some-odd years, you will be a success in this business. So, Mark, you have my absolute respect.
Well, that's quite a compliment. I don't know if that's all accurate, but okay.
It is accurate. I watched you break national stories that you have worked on for months, and I saw you take about a five-minute victory lap and then start working on the very next story. That was in the rearview mirror.
Well, I mean, the way it worked for guys like me, when you win, it's a relief. When you lose, it's pure misery. So when you lose, it stays with you. When you win, you go, great, let's go. I mean, that's just the way it is. And we lose, in our world, we lose a heck of a lot more than we win. That's just the way it is. That's not being humble. It's the truth. And if it were, you put it in baseball parlance, I'd be somewhere in the Gulf Coast League. Because, you lose a lot, especially to the national guys.
Hey, man, let's go back to the very beginning. How did you become a sports journalist?
When I was growing up in Hempstead, Texas, which is about 50 miles northwest of here, I'd sit in the back of my dad's clothing store and pretend to be a sportscaster. So that's God's honest truth. As far as where it went, I went to school, University of Houston. I was going through their communications program, had an internship at Kick Radio, and it just kind of started there. I knew what I wanted to do. I wasn't sure how I was going to do it. And I watched a lot of people, just like you do. You watch people and you maybe who your idols were or guys you looked up to, and you take bits and pieces from them. And I just decided that the role I wanted to be in was getting stories, as many as often as I could, being as good as I could. I don't know. That's the only way I can explain it.
Hey, look, I broke a few stories in my day.
Oh yeah.
But you are absolutely relentless, and you do it within the rules by doing the hard footwork, by making the calls, by building the relationships.
Well, that's the key, the relationships. I frustrated a lot of the news directors here at Fox because I was never here for meetings because I didn't have time to be sitting in meetings.
Yeah.
Our jobs would be out there in the field. I can't tell you how many games I was at with the Astros before this magnificent run, despite what's going on right now. I'm sitting at what is now called Daikin Park during their 100 loss seasons, sitting in the dugout, game after game after game, because you know what? We were there to build relationships. We're there for a purpose. Get to know ownership, coaching staff, managers. I mean, you have to be there. You can't be sitting at the office. You can't be at home, and you can't be on the golf course.
Yeah, something you didn't indulge in was opinion either.
No, because, look, Greg, when you have an opinion, what are you doing? You're taking a side. And in all cases, I'm Switzerland. I'm impartial. I'm in the middle. I don't have a side. Maybe I do now because I'm a fan.
Right.
You know, I grew up an Astros fan. That's what I was as a kid. So that's what I am now. But when I was covering the Astros, I couldn't do that. I had to stay in the middle, and I wasn't going to take sides. If a player, coach, manager, attorney wanted to go on camera and be negative, that's fine. That's not coming from me. That's coming from them. So, no, I didn't have an opinion, which frustrated our boss here. He wanted me to be opinionated, and I wasn't going to do it because I didn't think it was the right thing to do. And I think I'm right. I know I'm right.
Well, it
doesn't work in this era because everybody wants to be controversial.
Right, right, right. But it worked for you, and it can be a model for young journalists in the future.
Maybe.
That's my point.
Maybe. I mean, in this era, I don't know what's right because everybody wants to be controversial. They want to get clicks. They want to get, you know, likes and all that stuff on social media. And if you're not controversial, maybe you don't get that. But that's, I don't know any other way. And I'm never going to do it again because I don't want to go through that. But that's the only way I know how to do it or teach it.
Yeah. And Mark Berman, in true Mark Berman fashion, when social media became an important component here at Fox, you became the colossal champion of Fox 26 in terms of attracting social media.
Well, yeah, well, I hated it at first because I didn't understand why I wanted to go tell the world what I'm working on.
Yeah.
In 2009, when I first started dabbling with it, it just made no sense to me. And then I realized that at that point, there's no such thing as a deadline. In other words, you can't wait till 9 o'clock to break the story. A buddy of mine would always say, tweet it or read it. If you don't break it, you'll be reading it somewhere else. So get the story and go. I don't care if it's 3 o'clock in the morning. And I can tell you, I put some stuff on the Twitter at 3 o'clock in the morning.
And you broke it.
Well, yeah.
Truer words never been made. Tweet it
or read it.
There you go. Hey, stick with us. Red, White, and Bruise will be right back. I pledge allegiance. Hey, everybody, welcome back to Red, White, and Bruise. I'm with my good friend, iconic sports journalist, Mark Berman. Mark, you know, it's tough when you have broken thousands of stories, literally thousands.
That's a stretch, but okay.
No, it's not. Yeah. I was around for 25 of your 30-some-odd, so, watched it. Look, there have to be some that have more meaning than others. And I'm going to ask you to tell me about a couple of them.
Well, when you talk about breaking stories, the impact of that kind of thing, if I sit back and, I mean, I've been here 37 years, or was here 37 years, and there was a lot of stuff. My memory's not very good anymore. But if you want to talk about the number one overall most important story, I would say it would have to be Tillman Fertitta buying the Rockets.
Yeah.
And in part because, you know, when these people, men and women, buy franchises, most of the time you've never heard of them. When Bob McNair bought the Texans, nobody knew who Bob was. People knew who he was in his industry. They didn't know who Drayton McClain was when he bought the Astros. When Tillman bought the Rockets, he was already an iconic figure in this market, right? He was already the man. So, I mean, he just became a bigger man. Now, of course, he's ambassador to Italy and all that, San Marino. But, I mean, to me, it just doesn't get any bigger.
You know, he said the other day, he spent $2.5 billion.
I was watching him on CNN. 2.2.
And now it's worth $5 billion.
He said it was the scariest thing he's ever done.
And the most profitable.
And that when you look around, what's happened to the valuations is 2.2 is now worth $5 billion, if not more. So he sleeps well at night, no doubt. Okay, this story could easily be the same as Tillman because it involves the Texans. We were the first to report that Bob McNair was trying to bring the Texans back to Houston. Or not the Texans, an NFL franchise back to Houston. That was our story. People have forgotten that, but I promise you, we had that first. And that's a monster story. But again, at the time, Bob was not a big name to the layman. You know, he was a very successful businessman and was a great owner. But nobody knew who he was, not really. So that's a huge story. Okay, so the other two, and there's others, but there's two baseball stories that and we were involved in Drayton selling the Astros and Jim buying the Astros, but I love telling this story because it involves my daughter, Jessica, who's a segment producer here at Fox.
And really good at it,
thank
I might
you.
Add.
I would not disagree. And I love telling the story. I was at spring training in Florida. Jessica pays attention to everything, and she's also a huge Astros fan. And Martin Maldonado put a tweet out on Twitter. It was a crying emoji. He said, "I tried." That's all it said. Nobody knew what it meant. And so she sent it to me, and it's like 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning Eastern time. So I called an important source of mine at that point, and he said, "You need to call." I'm still in an off-the-record scenario, so I can't give names. "You've got to call this person and tell him what Martin did and see if he'll help you." So I did, and that's when I was told Carlos was going to sign with the Twins, get a tweet ready. And in other words, the Maldonado didn't say what he meant, but you could infer from it. Either he's going somewhere else, or he's just not signing here, whatever. So I was told that Carlos had agreed to terms with the Twins and got the exact contract information. And we broke the story in about 10 minutes later. And I do mean 10 minutes later, it was everywhere. That's Twitter. You know, the ESPN guy picked it up. He credited Fox 26. If he doesn't do that, we don't get what we deserve. Another story that it's not the same thing, but you'll understand it. That's, to me, equally good considering the player was – A Canadian reporter broke the story that Michael Brantley had agreed to terms with Toronto, the Blue Jays. And I'm sitting at home. I don't know why I was home at that point, but I was not heading to work yet. I thought, well, another story I got beat on. And then some other national guy tweeted out shortly after that, well, he's headed to Toronto, but it's not a done deal yet. I said, whoa, what's going on here? So I started making a couple phone calls. Next thing I know, I'm breaking, he's staying with the Astros. And this thing had been confirmed by top national reporters that he was gone. So what they confirmed was a huge error. How do you confirm something that's not true?
Yeah.
I don't have an answer for that. But we broke that story, and everybody was stunned. So that's what comes to mind right now.
You know, it's amazing to me. You are keeping confidences well after retirement.
I don't have
that's
a choice.
Just a matter of principle with you.
Well,
and it helped you get stories.
Well, I don't need them anymore, but if they were not living, I would tell you. I don't think it'd be fair to – they're still active. They're still involved, playing, coaching, managing, whatever. And I don't think it's fair for me to sit here and say where I got the story. Yeah. You agree with that? I hope you agree with that.
Look, I tell young reporters, don't burn bridges.
That's right.
You know, the short-term gain is not worth the career-long pain because you will get a reputation for burning bridges.
It's integrity and ethics. It's all those things. And I would never, ever, ever stab somebody in the back. And I would never give up a source under any circumstances. I'll tell you one real quickly. Akeem Olajuwon came here to the station at the old building for a PSA. I'd broken a story on his contract. And he asked me, "I know who your source is. I need you to tell me. If you tell me, I'll give you the exclusive interview." I said, "I can't do that. I'm sorry." He got in his car and drove off.
Wow. Wow.
And he was right. He would offer me the interview if I did what he wanted. I wasn't going to do it. And so he drove off. And I respected it.
Hey, man, I'll take your game plan any day of the week. By the way, when did you move from tight end to flanker? Because you look great, man. 35 pounds.
Let's get it right. If you're going to talk about my weight, I've dropped 38.
Awesome, brother.
I need to drop another 7 more maybe.
All right. Look, Mark, you are now in retirement happily.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you'll ever quite be completely in retirement, but you're a fan now, and fans get to express their opinion.
Yeah, be miserable like I am right now about the Astros.
Hey, stay with us. Red, White, and Bruise will be right back. I pledge allegiance to the red. I pledge allegiance
to the red, white, and blue. Hey, welcome back to Red, White, and Bruise with my good friend, sports reporting legend, Mark Berman. Buddy, thanks for being here with me. You know, I was worried because I watched you for a quarter century work at an almost inhuman frenzied pace. And it was something I was in awe of,
But I also worried that when it shut down, you'd go into some kind of PTSD state because it was ingrained in the fiber at a cellular level. If Mark Berman wasn't chasing a story, how could he breathe?
Well, let me just tell you this, and I've told this many times since I retired. Several years ago, it was Christmas Eve. My daughter and my grandson and her husband were on the other side of the family. We were at home having dinner, and it's supposed to be all quiet on the Western Front. My cell phone was upside down. I turned it over. It's Christmas Eve. I turned it over, and the best player on the University of Houston basketball team, Marcus Sasser, announced on Christmas Eve he had a broken foot. And I just looked at my wife. She started laughing. And there's just a reason I'm telling you this story based on what you just asked me. I got up, went into the study. I called him. He didn't answer. I called the office. I'm writing for the web. I'm writing for Twitter. I'm writing for Air. He calls back. I do the interview. It was exclusive. We do the interview. He explains what happened to his foot and all this and all that. By the time I was done, it was an hour and a half later, and dinner was ruined. The night was ruined. Now, we did what we had to do job-wise. But the point is, I can never let that happen again, because that was I was wrong on that part. I let the job interfere with everything. But let me tell you something. If you didn't take a phone call from somebody or didn't respond to somebody, they would never call you again, or they're going to help somebody else out. So it doesn't matter. You have to get the job done. In that situation, what am I going to do? It's Christmas Eve. I'm not going to cover the story. They were the number 5 or 6 ranked team in the country. Give me a break. I had no choice.
I got it, man. And it's happened at my house, too, on political stories.
Sure. It never ended.
But, you know, I talk to Jessica, you know, 4 or 5 times a week.
My daughter.
Yeah, and she's awesome. And she has kind of kept me informed about how excellent this new stage of life is. Now you're just a fan, mm-hmm. Mark Berman fan. And, you know, I always worried that you couldn't stop to enjoy the sports you covered because you were so busy covering them.
Well, I grew up in the 60s as an Astros fan. My dad, my brothers, and I lived and died with that team back in those days, which means we did a whole lot of dying. But I can be a fan now, and I can tell you that I get sickened by some of the stuff on Twitter ripping Jim Crane or ripping Joe Espada or ripping Dana Brown. What these guys have done with the injuries that they've had, give me a break. It's amazing. I know the division had been weak up to date, but not now. Seattle and Texas are playing better. So if you ask me as a fan, I think, you know, I hope they can turn it around, hope they can win the division. But these guys have done a great job with what they've got.
It's been extraordinary. And you know something? To be here in the, first week, second week of September, and have a one-game lead or now tied for the division lead, with the kind of decimation that we dealt with.
That's exactly right.
You know, those guys deserve manager and general manager of the year, regardless of how we
finish. It'd be like Fox 26 going to work with Greg Grugan on the IR. Doesn't work.
All right. So, I know you watch the Texans.
Yes.
You know, opening game, not a lot of offense. Are you worried?
Well, yeah, I think so. One game doesn't make a season. I don't know what to think about the team. I haven't seen enough of them. You know, I wouldn't have more of an opinion maybe in 4 or 5 weeks. But, I mean, their defense is as advertised. I know that the quarterback is special. He's just got to get the time. He's got to have the playmakers around him get the job done. So I don't know the answer to that. I don't know what to think. I think Monday night might tell us something against Tampa.
You know, I was listening to a fellow UH Coug who happened to have a pretty good sports journalism career as well. I think you know who I'm talking about. Bottom line is, UH football looks like it may be on the path to recovery.
Well, their head coach, Willie Fritz, has won everywhere he's been. And there's no doubt in my mind he's going to win there. I don't know how big he's going to win. I mean, a lot of it has to do with NIL money. I mean, they got to have the money to win. You know, you're paying players now. It's a whole different ball game. So, I mean, I know as a coach, and I don't know him. I've met him a couple times. I don't know him personally, but from what I've seen from him, they got a good one. I think they can win. It's just a question of how big.
Yeah. Hey, I want to talk about something that is little known about you, which is in crisis. And we have them here in Houston. Weather-related disasters. Mark Berman didn't say, hey, there's no sports on today. He jumped in the fray. He added to our coverage. He did everything possible. It's what a guy who's part of a team does when a team is in play. And I want to thank you, man.
Well, I appreciate it. That was some covering hurricane stuff and doing things like that. I'll tell you, we only have a few seconds here, but one story that comes to mind I really got a kick out of during right after Harvey, Michigan State had a off week.
Yeah.
And there was a couple of players on their team that were from Houston, and 10 or 12 of them came to Houston to clean up houses that had been destroyed by the floods. Uh-huh. We were there covering that story, and that was an amazing, have these kids come down here from, you know, up there in Michigan to, you know, give their time back to Houston. That's, I enjoy doing stuff like that. Now, covering hurricanes is not a lot of fun, as you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you grew up in this town.
Oh, yeah.
You've been through.
Well, I grew up in Hempstead, 50 miles from here.
Well,
yes.
Yeah. You've been through half a dozen or more hurricanes. You know how this community reacts and what's expected of people who love this town,
mm-hmm.
which is to step up. And you do, like always have.
Absolutely. But, I mean, that's tough stuff, seeing what people go through in that situation.
Hey, man, will you come back again?
Depends on how much you're going to pay me.
Depends on how whether I get that lunch. All right. I guess we've run out of time on Red, White, and Bruce. Hope you guys will come back. Mark Berman, you'll always be my hero. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. I pledge allegiance.